Hey, everyone. It's a wonderful new show here at Music Addict Podcast. Of course, myself, Tom McDonough, and my co-host.
Mark Taylor, you got me again.
I'm going to do this to Mark all the time. See when I do it. But you got the two of us. We love music, obviously.
Absolutely.
Music Addict being, it's a beautiful brand name. I can't go wrong on that. Ultimately with the sound of that, but ultimately in the end, both of us, our lives have been music. Our whole careers have been music. And of course,
if there is a definition of music addicts, it's us, Tom.
It's us. Yeah.
It's us. I mean, between writing, listening, working with, I mean, we're music addicts, Tom. We need a 12-step program.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, this week, our guest of the show, is, are you ready? Kitten K. Sarah.
Nice. That's the pink lady.
That's the pink lady. And Celinda or Celine?
Celinda, yes.
Yeah, Celinda. Yeah, I was right.
Yeah, Celinda.
Celinda Chang, which Celinda is again, from 0 to 60, learning to play guitar, that girl can play. She's phenomenal. I personally, she was on my list of people I was looking for when I was looking for guitarists. She's it. She is.
I don't be jealous.
Yes, she's great. But the two of them, obviously, with the with their band, I and again the theme being pink. It's something, the Pinktastic Plastic.
Pinktastic Plastic.
Yes,
that's it. And they were this before the Barbie movie. You know,
so long
a lot
before.
Of think it's Barbie, but yeah, they were before the Barbie movie. But hey, and a good band, Tom.
Yes, shocking. It shocked the heck out of me because I expected something different when I was going to go listen to it. And then when I got it, it was in your face, straight, kind of pop rock, punk pop rock. It was very, very, it was extremely good. I was very, very pleased with what I heard from them. And I was, again, just shocked, but based off of the kind of the Barbie setting, with the pink, total pink theme with kind of the Barbie setting type look. I wasn't sure what I figured bubblegum pop is really what.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I went in with hesitation and trepidation.
Yeah.
I was like, oh boy, let me get, and then I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. So and then that's what we got that interesting sound that came out of them. That, kind of crazy. It was an extremely good song. I liked it. I loved the video. They did a great job with that. Kitten's very, like I said, granted, she said her mom was one that taught her everything, but marketing and branding, that woman is just queen. She knows it. She does it well and she sticks to it. And I think she's done a very good job of molding it together. I said to her, and I said it on well during the interview, that I said that her band members that she picked were people I was picking personally for my own personal band. When looking for that, they were, they're phenomenal. And I'm always been impressed with what she's done with that and how she's put it together and packaged it.
Yeah.
Nice little pink bow.
Absolutely. And I can't wait for everyone to hear her and to hear her interview. And she is just, such an interesting character that I think, everyone should take a minute and just take a look at how she does what she does.
Yeah, especially with it being older like us, I think that's amazing to see her do what she does.
Absolutely.
I'm impressed and happy that someone decided to actually follow through on their lifelong dreams and do what they do. And again, everyone's dreams, you can reach for them. You can always obtain your dreams.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait for everyone to hear her. She needs to come out with a supplement, like some kind of vitamin water, because with all the energy she has, I think she might be missing a calling. I think she should come out with her energy line.
Yeah, she is pinktastic for sure.
Pinktastic, that's right, man.
On top of that, we want to tell everybody, make sure to check out our newsletter. We're a free newsletter at Music Addict. Packed full of wonderful stuff and features, venues, artists. Recording studios. We talk about everything and do reviews on everything possible, as well as we give tips every month to how to better your career or further your career or take hold of your career in your music career. It's free.
And we're still accepting submissions for our award show. Time's running out.
Yeah, time's running out because we're in June. It's almost coming to an end. I definitely implore you. That's free to submit to too. We started off with smaller categories for the first year for a reason. It's a limited to make it get thing perfected on it. But I think we did a really good job with what we had in categories. But I would love to see more people submit, and definitely love to see, hear what you guys what you submit. And I like to hear what everyone's different artistic takes on things are. It's amazing and unique, and it might inspire us for next year to add more categories. So definitely submit to us at musicaddict.org.
That's right. This is the inaugural.
Yeah, there's a very simple form there on the on that page for the music awards. Right, submit right there, including uploading all your files. Very simple.
Absolutely.
So definitely do that. Definitely sign up for the newsletter. Both of these things are free. Obviously, keep listening to our podcast. Thank you for, always being there. And people who, the people who listen every single show, I thank you.
I'm surprised how popular it's getting. People always say we wouldn't be able to do this without them. And it really is really cool to see it growing. And people are now reaching out to us to be on the show, which is really, really a blessing. Instead of always to chase people down, it's a new day. And I'm so glad and pleased that people are appreciating what we're doing.
And then we're going to have a lot more of the 80s and 90s artists coming in. We've just been having a lot of fun with these up and coming rising artists. It's just been a blast. Last 7, 8, 9. So we're 10 interviews in, and it's, wow. I've had a ton of fun. And I know Mark's had
A lot of these guys give me hope, man. People always say, preach the gloom and doom of the music industry, but a lot of these people we've interviewed, they just give me hope that, hey, there's still good music out there.
Exactly. So definitely, submit to our award show. Any music you have that's new this year, submit to it. And if it's late last year, like in November, December, we might bend for it. So definitely, give us a try. Newsletter, obviously keep listening to the podcast. And of course, without further ado, everyone, I want to welcome our next guest. I really got to say, this is give me too easy. Kitten K. Sarah. I mean, come on. I couldn't have gotten something easier than that. So thank you, Kitten, by the way. And,
good to be here.
And Celinda Chang. Celinda, I've known you for a while. Matter of fact, obviously we followed each other on social media for a while, so I've known you for a while. It's great. Actually, it's great to, get to talk to you, face to face. And it's amazing what you've guys done, obviously, with the Pinktastic Plastic. That, again, you gotta love the branding behind this. If no one has ever paid attention to many of the things Mark and me preach about, in a given day, and when we're on our soapbox, is branding. It's number one key. Yeah. Building a brand, building it correctly, and having consistency. If I had to use somebody as a poster for that poster, you would certainly be a kid. You've done an extremely good job of it. And I have to, another one I'm going to give, and I'm sure Mark will just jump right in on this one, but at the age, as we were discussing prior, doing it right, it is more social media and more in branding is more of a game for the younger. But you have dared to defy the odds, and my hat's off to you, literally.
Oh my gosh. And you do it right. I mean, talk about living your dream. I mean, my gosh. And I love your saying, what is it? Dreams have no expiration date?
Yes.
Oh, that's outstanding. We must be cut from the same cloth, because I'm right there with you. So many people think, oh, well, I always want to do that, but I'm just too old. I'm like, well, come on. And now I'm going to start using your saying, dreams have no expiration date, because they don't. And the whole pink thing, I love it. And you were pink well before Barbie, so it's not like.
Thank Thank you.
Yeah, people are like, oh, she's doing a Barbie thing. I'm like, no. Well before Barbie. So, yes. You know, they should have consulted you.
I know. I was so bummed I wasn't even thought of for the, you know, to be in the film even. You know, I was like, what? Oh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, especially with
that
the
room. That seems like an oversight. You'll be in the sequel.
I think so too, because they noticed me. Let me tell you, I went to the premiere in Hollywood. It was amazing, you guys. It was the Shrine Auditorium, and I got to walk the pink carpet. At least I got invited to the premiere. That was a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. They thought of their error and their mistake.
Yeah, now they know me. And I'm telling you right now, we did a thing. The band even did something for World of Barbie. So we did they reached out to us and said, do y'all want to come to the World of Barbie? We'll do it. Okay. She's excited. So we did that. The band did that. It was so much fun. I had fun. Did you have fun, Celinda?
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. This is a cool little pop-up basically in Santa Monica. That they had just that you could be Barbie for a day. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Now, you've been pink for, did you say, 40 years?
Well, you know, it was 1980. So whatever that is, I stopped doing them. I'm bad at math. I'm good at branding and good at everything else, but I'm terrible at math. So my pinkiversary came up. It's on my birthday, June 8th. That was when I started wearing all pink on my birthday. I kind of thought, I want to do something different. I just want to, like, feel really good, and I just put on all pink. And then from that day forward, it kind of had I know this sounds crazy, and people are like, whoa. But I had a spiritual awakening that day. I kind of just said, you know what? I felt great. I loved it. This is me. I found myself. And from that day forward, my sisters, I have four sisters, and my mom and dad, they probably thought it was just a phase, but it was like not. And they're like, we know it's not a phase, you know, but I've only worn pink since then. And that's why I'm the pinkest person in the world officially. I'm in the Ripley's, believe it or not. I'm trying for the Guinness Book of World Records, but they don't have a category. They're like, we don't have a category for that. I'm like, you make it up. you take it, you know. Anyway, so that's how it started.
Well, you get my vote.
Oh, thank you.
And then, of course,
you know, go ahead, Tom.
Sorry. I was going to say the room. I mean, alone, the room alone in the pink. I mean, literally, it is. That's iconic. Literally, it is just not just put together. It is thought well out. I'm impressed. Literally, I am.
You got to see it. I got the sign. They gave us the sign for free just to promote, like you do. You do a cross promotion, is what mm-hmm. I always say. You know, if I'm like strapped for cash, I'm like, do you guys want to do a cross promotion or a collab? They're like, yeah. So this giant sign I got for nothing, just for saying the name of the brand. And what is the name of the brand?
Uh-oh.
Custom Neon. Yes.
Nice. I will add out some Custom Neon.
Thanks, Custom Neon.
Now, you know what's funny is when you see all of the pink and you hear you think, oh, it's just a gimmick, you know. But then you hear the music. And you're like, oh, no, these guys are musicians. The music is outstanding. I listened to a couple, what is it, Something Crazy?
Kind of crazy.
And I love that. I mean, the music is outstanding. So it's not just a gimmick. You guys can play. And Celinda, is it true you've only been playing for 2 years or something, or just a few years?
Just about 3 years now, yeah.
What? And you started with an app or a program?
Basically, yeah, it was during COVID. I just decided, you know, I kind of wanted to do something with my time. So I picked up guitar and I used an app called Fender Play for a little bit and just, you know, hopped on YouTube and whatnot. So yeah, mostly so.
I mean, from zero to being in a powerful band just from Fender Play and COVID boredom.
Basically, yeah. No. I'm very lucky and grateful that, you know, I get to be a part of this and that Kitten took a chance on me early on and everything. Because I think when I joined the band, I had only been playing for about a year and a half at that point. And I'd never played with anyone else before. Like, this was my very first band. And Kitten reached down and was like, do you want to audition? I was like, okay.
Belinda is so good. I knew when I saw her, she has what it takes. I knew it. I was with my personal assistant was with me that day, and she was picking somebody else. I won't say who, but she's like, well, I like so-and-so. I said, no, listen, Celinda has the look. She has the sound. She was already really great. I mean, and then she had the pink guitars, two pink guitars. Hello, goodbye. That's all I needed.
Yeah, so. she's got quite a few guitars, Celinda. And on top of that, I'll give accolades here twice here. Number one, for when I was looking for my own personal band, Celinda and everybody that's in your band was on my list, by the way.
Wow.
And I'm extremely, and Mark will tell you, I'm extremely picky. And everybody it's on in the band, I was on my list.
Wow.
So that's funny enough, and this is probably this, and Celinda, you will tell when I followed you, this is the reasoning, one of the reasons why, because it was going down my list. And you play phenomenally. You're natural. This is one of the things today's day and age is missing, is people who have emotion, feeling, and understanding music and playing music. You know, internally it comes out, you know, from the heart. And that is what's truly missing a lot of. But what Kitten's doing is that, all that. She's got such the emotion. I mean, it's like kind of like heart, you know, the band playing the way they are. Kitten, you got that type of sound coming out of what was in this music. And it's very, very impressive to what you've melded together and put together, because it's very hard to do this with many of the modern artists, because Mark will tell you from out in the studio, there's not as many people can read, write, understand music, let alone play the music and the instruments. And all the girls, including yourself, can understand all these concepts and meld them together well. This is why, on top of your branding, on top of the sound, on top of what you guys are doing there, and well, you guys melded together as a band extremely well. It's a picture-perfect scene in every way.
Well, that means so much coming from you, because I know I've done a background check on both you guys, and I just know you know your stuff. You definitely know your stuff, so that means a lot coming from you guys, and I really appreciate that, really. But I kind of, you know, I learned from my mom. I was in a group growing up as a child in a band with my sisters singing, which, you know, we sang really, it was in Texas. So we were doing like kind of country. First we started out doing show tunes, and then we did country, and then we switched to pop. I'm like, I'm so over country. I'm not doing, I was like getting into wild, like Annie Lennox and Eurythmics and Culture Club. I was like Bowie. I was like dressing real wild. They're like, okay, we can't do country anymore. But I learned from my mom, who is one of the best managers and publicists. She didn't even know how great she is. She's like, but I was just, I didn't even know I was learning. We were in the living room playing, and she'd be over there at her office talking, but I heard everything. So everything that she did, I picked up on and didn't even know that I knew what I was doing, but I knew exactly how to do it. And that's what happened. I always say, Mom, thank you so much for, you know, getting me into music, because it's my life. You know, I love it so much. And thank you so much for doing that. So she knows.
Influences in music. Yeah. What was your influences in music? I mean, obviously, Bowie, you've mentioned Bowie.
Yeah.
That's our time period. Yeah, I mean, all of us older.
I love anybody that was really different. Like, you know, like I say, Culture Club was really wild. Like, that was like, well, shocking. But I just loved how wild he was. Even like Elton John, I could kind of do sometimes Elton John looks. But with my own style, you know, and Bowie, Eurythmics, who I loved growing up.
Yeah, Eurythmics is amazing.
Oh, Eurythmics. But I even loved, like you said, I loved Heart. I remember when Dog and Butterfly came out on the radio, I was like glued to AM radio listening to these fabulous songs that Heart was doing, you know, but I love a lot of, I'm influenced by a lot, but I think those are my main ones, if I had to say. And the Runaways, I love the Runaways. Oh, my God.
Fast forward to today.
Oh, today?
Modern influences.
I love Lady Gaga. I still love Cher. And I don't know. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think all the cool groups that I love. Green Day is one of my favorites. Like, hello, I'd love to open for Green Day. I think we're a lot like Green Day in a sense. But girls, yeah. You know, I think we could open for Green Day. I would love for the Go-Go's to go back on a tour and us open for them. I think that'd be... I want to do all girl bands and on a tour and call it Girl Cella or Pink Cella. Pink Cella. Isn't that hilarious?
I love Girl Cella.
Which one do you like? Which one do you like better?
I like girl cello. That's outstanding.
Yeah. And just have like five or six going on. Like, remember Lilith Fair? They did that with, and then it kind of died out.
I remember that.
Lilith Fair had all female vocalists, but it was just solo. But I think all girl bands would just, it would be L7. It would be The Warning. It would be Plush. It would be like even bring the Go-Go's back for a show or two, you know? I can't think of all the all-girl bands, but the Bangles.
Bananarama.
The Bangles. Yeah.
Yes. I forgot about Bananarama, but did they play their own instruments or no?
I don't think so.
But that would be fun anyway. It would still be
fun. I'd go.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, now... How do you describe your sound? Like you mentioned Green, how do you describe your sound? Do you call it punk or what do you call your sound?
Oh, Celinda, answer that one. You can answer that, Celinda. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I think we've been calling it pop rock so far. Sometimes we call it pop punk too, because it definitely has that kind of pop influence in it, like the melodies, the choruses, the fun vibes. But I think because of like the way that we play with the guitars and the drums and bass especially, we definitely bring a more rock feel to it and a little bit of the punk vibes with the four chord punk.
Definitely the energy you guys bring. You bring more energy than the average pop song. No disrespect to the average pop song, but there's an energy to your music that is lacking. And maybe because there's so much live instrumentation, but there's a lot of times in most pop, it's drum machines and it just doesn't have that same feel.
I agree. Yeah.
I see, it's pink pop.
The pink pop. I love that.
Pink pop. Let's go with it.
Yeah,
I'm using that from now on.
Yes. Everyone, yes. Celinda, I'm going to go back to you for, because I know if we grabbed Kitten's things, influences, what about you, influences? I mean, obviously, you've come out of from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, but with music, well, what influenced you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've always loved music and listening to music. I played cello for all of my school years, so I've always kind of been in the realm of music, but I'm definitely a 2000s, like pop punk, emo, punk rock, kind of girly. So, you know, I got a lot of that from my older sister and she had older friends. So when I was in middle school and high school, that's the kind of music that I found and gravitated towards. So my favorite artist is My Chemical Romance, yes. Green Day, like Ian mentioned, Paramore, all those kind of bands. But I also really like, some heavier bands like Hailstorm, New Year's Day. And then my dad, he loves music, all different kinds of music, but particularly like 80s rock and, you know, hard rock, metal, things like that. So I grew up with a lot of that too. So like Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Extreme. So a lot of those guitarists, especially, cause that was like, you know, the golden age of guitar gods. Like a lot of them are personal influences for me in trying to like learn how they play and how they compose and things like that. Like maybe one day I can shred like that or something. But yeah, those are probably my main influences.
That's oh, good one. My Chemical Romance is
my favorite string instrument. I love the sound. I played violin when I was in high school, so I was violin. And if I could go back, I would have played cello. It is just the most beautiful. It, to me, it's the closest to a human voice as you can get. When the cello is really doing its thing, it is so moving.
I do love the cello too. Yep.
Yeah, it is harmonic in its play.
That Netflix series Wednesday kind of gave a rebirth to cello. I don't remember the name of the song, but she did a cello thing and it was outstanding.
Oh yes, I saw that.
Yeah. I often, you know, when you look at someone's journey in music, it is hard enough in general, but being female, it's got to be even harder. And then being female and older, like I'm older, it's harder for me. It's got to be tough. So I love that one of the things you mentioned is fighting ageism in music. And personally, I believe they need us because without us, everything's going to be computer sampled or AI. They need us. We, you know, we are the last to ever record on tape. you know, the people that come, they have no reference to tape. So we have the knowledge of where it used to be, and we can kind of help people along. So you're, you know, tell me more about just the struggles of being in our group and trying to navigate the new music world.
Yeah, you know, it always, to me, and I know this is off topic, but it always goes back to Vogue magazine for me. Because when I doubt myself, I just think, nope, Vogue. And I'm going to tell you why. I was on the cover of Vogue magazine, and I was 9 pages inside. I was told I was too old to be in Vogue magazine. I was told I was too old to be in a front of band. They said, seriously, here's what they said. I put an ad, just real happy, so happy, I'm going to do a band. And I put it on Craigslist, big mistake. And I just said, you know, I don't care, 9 to 99, as long as you can play, come on out, let's have fun. You know, I just wanted to do it for fun. It was a dream, like I said, it was just wanted to have fun. And it, well, I wasn't even looking for all girls. I was looking for any freaking body. So I get these mean emails from guys and nothing. I don't know. It's just these dudes that are like, you're giving up, grandma. You're too old to front a band. What are you thinking? Like, I was like, I wanted to cry, but then I got so pissed. I said, well, watch me. So I changed my wording, and I said, all girls. But I didn't put it on Craigslist. I went more Instagram, which is the way to go. So I started finding hashtag female drummer, hashtag female bassist. I started just finding all females, and no one said a word about how old I was. They're like, this sounds fun. Let's do it. I swear I wanted to cry. But that's how. Anytime someone tells me no, for some reason, it just lights a fire under my ass and makes me want to do it more. Because I was on the cover of Vogue when I said I couldn't. They said I couldn't be. A lady in the beauty industry was like, I was just saying, you know, I dream of being on the cover of Vogue. And I didn't even say the cover. I just said, I dream of being in Vogue magazine. She goes, you're too old to be in Vogue. Wow. Okay. Coming right by me. I was like, it shut me up, but it didn't. Shut up. What was in my head was like, what was in my head was watch me. And guess who got tagged when I was on the cover of Vogue? And guess who got a copy of Vogue? The person I was too old. There you go, lady.
That is amazing. First off, perseverance. Second off, shows that anything can be done if people do it the right way.
Yep. Exactly. And it was so bizarre because Vogue reached out to me. I didn't even reach out, like trying. Wow. They reached out
to
me.
That's impressive.
We're doing a pink issue. We think you'd be perfect. I was like, I can't believe this. Like, but it was a couple of years after she had said that. It was like maybe 3 or 4 years after she had said I was too old. But I never got it out of my head. You know what I mean? I always wanted to do it. Like it was.
Well, what's cooler, that means you were older then. So yeah. That's even cooler.
Everything was after 50 for me that started really happening great. I mean, everything was after 50. When I hit 50, it's like, boom, boom, things were happening. It was great, you know?
So did the woman who said you were too old to be in Vogue ever comment after the fact that you were on the cover?
Never, but she's fine. Here I tagged her ass. I made sure. I said, look, when someone said in the beauty industry said I was too old to be in Vogue, look, here I am on the cover. Snap. Right. You know, like I just, and then I did all the inside. Maybe I should grab that real fast. I'm going to show you. I have to show you guys. I know, but this is not video, but can you see that?
Yes.
That is so cool.
In my house with my dog. And there's all these pages inside too. It's not just, it's a whole issue with all pink.
That's so cool.
I'm a fan, man. But yeah. I could go on for days, but yeah, don't give up on your dreams. Don't listen to anybody. Don't let the outside voices distract you from what's on your inside voice, because your inside voice knows better than anybody else. Don't ever, ever give up on your dreams.
And of course, you married the color pink.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, you married pink. Cool. I thought they meant the singer. I was like, really?
Oh my God, nobody's ever thought that. That's so funny. She would probably love me. Yeah. I just did it as a joke, kind of a fun thing, just to say I love pink more than anybody else kind of thing. Like, I'll do whatever I want. And I did it.
screen.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was fun. It made the world news. It went all over the world.
Well, again, getting on the Drew Barrymore show with that all in mind, that was not a bad thing. Again, back to branding, back to solidifying consistency, being consistent to a message and staying to it. People have much trouble with that in any industry and coming from anything in the entertainment industry. And you've done the marketing well. So hats off to your mom for teaching you the right way.
You said that. She'd love to hear it.
So you guys are, you were saying that you were, you got this big day coming up on your next big concert, which is going to be August 27th.
Yes.
So yeah, all girl band or national all girl band day.
Yeah. Yeah. We're founding this day because I just want to shine a light on all girl bands. I just think it, you know, we're less than 10%. Truthfully, if you really do look at it, there's not that many of us out there that are there's a lot of us out there, but we're not breaking through like we should. We're not getting enough recognition, I don't feel. So I just think this is a fun way to say, hey, here we are. Let's celebrate. Play the Go-Go's. Play your favorite all-girl band. Play L7. Play The Warning. Play us. Play Fantastic Plastics. You know, so it's just going to be fun. And there's four all-girl bands that are performing back-to-back, which is basically you don't see that. You don't really see that out and about. You don't just see four all-girl bands. It's very rare. So we have the Anti-Groupies. Plush is headlining, which is awesome.
Amazing, yeah.
And then Fantastic Plastics. And who's the other one, Celinda? Turning Jane, that's right, yeah.
Good, it's a good lineup. Then again, the last time that was done was basically, I believe, was Lilith Fair. It was the last time that was any type of all-female gathering that had, you know, headlining. Now, I always say, and Mark will attest to this, that I've always said the only way to win much in the, especially pop and rock worlds, is female vocals. End of story, bar none. It just is, because it brings a unique blend of energy with it. And, you know, you see this with a lot of the bands, and I don't think they've gotten their due. Vixen, Janet Gardner and me are very good friends. I've known Janet for a very long time. Never got the due, and she was phenomenal in vocals. The Bangles got more. I mean, obviously writing a song in less than 10 minutes for Eternal Flame, which is an interesting story with that. But ultimately, they got a little bit more than the Bananarama and a few other ones. But they still, again, didn't get all what they probably would do, because creativity, the energy they brought to it. And Plush, what a great band. I mean, that's just alone, they've done extremely well. But I think, again, they could stack them up against anyone today, and they could pretty much take on anybody on the charts, in my opinion.
I agree. I love them. I love them too. I think I always thought that the Runaways was the first all-girl band, but it wasn't. It was Fanny, which I never heard of. I never heard of Fanny. Was that the 70s?
Yeah, it might have been the late 60s.
Oh, okay.
And into the early 70s.
But yeah, so I was always saying the Runaways kind of paved the way for everybody, but it was, then somebody, I got corrected, which is fine. I don't care. I didn't know. I was like, thanks for letting me know, because I didn't know that. And then the Go-Go's did really well, I thought.
Yeah, the Go-Go's did really well. They, again, they had their shine for, you know, whatever the few minutes. And then Belinda Carlisle obviously had some good success in her solo career on top of it. So there was some good, I think the Go-Go's paved the way more for many female bands going forward. The Runaways, I think, really started it. They had the most notoriety in the beginning. So I agree. They did a good job back when they started this.
Oh, and the Go-Go's support us on our National All-Girl Bands Day. I got a letter from Jane Wheedland. She's the guitarist, right?
Yeah.
She wrote me a letter, which I shared on my Instagram because I was so happy. And I shouldn't have even, I don't know if I should have shared it, said her where she lives. She's like, this is such a great idea. I wish you the best of luck. I wish I could come, but I'm in Hawaii. I don't know. Everybody probably knows that. But anyway, she said she couldn't come, but she would if she could. She said, I'd be there if I could, which made me so happy. I was like, okay, good. We got the Go-Go's behind us. At least,
Yeah, that's amazing that she, it's really nice she took the time and actually wrote that. I mean, again, it's this day and age trying to get anyone to do any, get trying to get people just to click the like button in social media is a challenge.
I was like, thank you for liking
Yeah.
that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like, can you hit like? I understand you looked at it, but can you hit like at least? Can you comment? But to get someone to write something today's day and age, that's huge, I think, and very important that she did. She took the time to do that, so that's very cool.
Oh, and then another thing, I know that I was so happy. I was so thrilled, tickled pink, I should say. I also got Lena Licaro, who is. She's a writer in LA, but she's used to write for LA Weekly. She was a music editor. Now she's a senior editor for Los Angeles Magazine, and she's going to be hosting the night, which is great because that's just more press that hopefully we'll get from her. And she loves bands. That's her life. I mean, she's always out and about. So I thought, who would be? I chose who I kind of wanted. I said, I hope she says yes, and she said yes. So we got her. Yay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Outstanding.
That'll be a good night. Too bad. I wish we were closer because I would definitely would love to go to that.
Well,
That
obviously in
sounds
summer, that's you never know. We may be out in LA
Yeah,
for some,
we may.
we may have to find a reason to get out there because it sounds like a show we
And
should miss time. That
I
would
think
be
you'd
fun.
stay. That would be great because stay at a place that has a pool. You go swimming, have pina coladas by the pool.
Nice.
And get to see Pinky Boo.
Yes.
I just, a lot of the times when I'm talking to newer artists, they complain about the social media and the drag of promotion. And I'm like, it's just the nature of the game. We used to have to send out and sell CDs. You just have to sit in front of your computer and try to get people to, push a like. Can you kind of, how do you break up your day with everything you're doing? How much time do you allot for social media?
Here's the thing. I love social media. I know people like it's a drag. You shouldn't have to, but I love it. It's fun for me. I sit there and I could edit something for a long time or just I it's a joy for me. Social media. I love it. Especially the band's page. It's fun because we only have we have a certain look and it's all pink, white, and black. That's our colors. We don't do green or yellow. Ooh, you won't see any of that. You'll just see pink, white, and black. And that's why it's so aesthetically pleasing. People don't realize. Now I notice bands are doing what we're doing. They're sticking with, like I see bands emulate what we do, which fine. I'm glad the people are paying attention, but I love social media. I spend probably like, I'd say a couple, maybe 4 hours a day on social media. But that's my joy. I don't have a regular job, thank God. My life is I made my passion my paycheck. I don't know how I did it, but I'm making the pink pay. So I'm doing branding as Kit and Kay Sara. I did a national makeup ad for Joa Beauty, which was. It's like, I think a Korean brand and they reached out. So I've got lots of stuff going on. I did a documentary. I'm on Netflix right now. Check out Amazing Interiors. I'm on episode like, I think 9 or 10, but anyway, I do other things, but I'm always making the pink pay and hopefully I can make the band make some money as well doing branding. Cause I know we're a branding dream for some company. I know we are.
Yeah, I agree. I got to ask one thing before I ever forget this, but I'm going to ask it. So we're going back to our youth and happy days. Did we get the pink inspiration from Pinky Tuscadero?
Oh, I watched her and I'm thinking that, I mean, it might have seeped into my consciousness, but I totally remember Pinky Tuscadero.
Yeah, it was a thing in our day, back in our day. It was a thing.
Pinky Tuscadero. Oh my gosh, you're giving us away, Tom.
I love
Was that the Fonz's girl?
Yes.
She was great. I love it. Remember Leather Tuscadero? She was
Yeah.
Sister, right?
Yes.
They were great characters. I
They
really,
were.
but
It
I
was an interesting mix back
And then there
then.
was the Pink Ladies in Greece, right?
Oh, love them. Love them. And all the movies that have come out. Like I did actually a tribute to Mean Girls in my song Pink is Punk. Y'all seen the movie Mean Girls?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. Well, but that whole song is basically, you know, about Mean Girls and sort of my experience with that. Because I love that movie too. It's a lot of pink on Wednesday, you know. But yeah, no, Pinky Tuscadero was great. She's great. It might have seeped in, but as a child, I don't really remember like thinking, "Oh, I'm going to do that." It just like later on it happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's yeah. It's interesting that the intermixing of all the things over the years. You know, pink has been a big thing, and obviously Barbie, you know, it certainly took it to new heights recently with the way that went in that direction. But then again, think about this: pink has been always synonymous with girls. It literally is an embodiment of female energy. And I think as guys, I think we've always, you know, noticed it. Every time you see pink, you always think the first thing you come to mind is, oh, okay, what's this girl like? And that's the first thing you always think of. You think the color pink as a male. Yeah. Now, girls, I'm not sure, you know, what you guys think the same thing we think that way, but that's the guy's take on it. You know?
You know what? Oh. Because my Wi-Fi messed up and you were frozen.
Yeah, you went frozen for a sec too.
It's like Madonna, frozen.
I would say. See if she comes. Yeah, see if she comes back. Give her a sec.
That's fine. Well, you know, it's so cool that the way your journey to guitar came. Knowing that you play the cello, at least you had some finger dexterity. But going to guitar, it's completely different diameter strings. You're going from four strings to six. It would have made more sense to go to bass. What made you go to guitar?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know. I think there's just something that always drew me to the sound of guitar, you know, especially in rock music, because I've always loved like rock and punk and stuff like that. And of course, bass is a huge part of that too. And I do play bass. But what really started the whole thing was just like listening to music again and being like, you know, I really like that sound. I really want to do that. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that just hit my heart. But yeah, it is a very different instrument from the cello, but my time with the cello did at least give me some sort of, you know, basic understanding of music, if anything, and, you know, how to hold an instrument, what is melody, you know, what are notes, well, things like that.
You know, what I like to ask people that are musicians now, and I've asked this before, is, do you think that music theory is going to be a lost art? It will go by the way of cursive handwriting, that as we move down the line, no one will need music theory anymore, because with AI and software, I don't know if anyone needs. I was talking to a musician the other day, and I'm like, well, you know your fifths and fourths, and he's like, what's that? I'm like, well, you know how to make a chord. You know an A, an F, you know, A, C, E, F. He had no idea. Because software does it all. So what do you think? Do you think there'll still be a need for theory, or is that it's just not going to be necessary anymore?
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion to have, because music theory is one of those interesting things that's like, if you're a musician, no matter what kind of music you make, you know some sort of theory, even if you don't. Like, even if you don't know necessarily how to build a chord or what a fourth is or what a fifth is, what these intervals are, in order to make music, there's some sort of theory behind it, right? There's some sort of basic understanding that you have to have to be like, you know what, this sounds good with this. This makes sense going after this. You know, rhythm, even just a sense of like clapping on rhythm, like that's music theory at its, you know, very basic form. But a lot of people, even, you know, now AI is getting a lot more popular. Like, people can literally, like you said, feed ideas, like lyric ideas, into a software and it'll come up with an entire song for you. But even before that, like, there's a lot of guitarists out there who don't know any, like, you know, formal theory. You just know how to put your fingers on the fretboard and pluck and push strum and be like, oh, that kind of sounds good. So it's always been a bit of a toss up as to how much theory you need. and how much you should learn. And so a lot of musicians are like, well, do I really need to learn music theory? And I've heard both ends of the spectrum. Some people being like, even as like rock and punk musicians being like, no, it's really important to know theory and to know the basics of songwriting to, you know, it just helps elevate your playing, the understanding of your instrument, and it gives you a whole nother dynamic, the relationship between you and your instrument and the music itself. On the other hand, there's a lot of people who are like, it's punk, it's DIY. You don't need to know anything. Just pick it up, remove that barrier. Cause, you know, a lot of people do see it as a barrier to starting to play music. And so I think, you know, being able to look at it as a tool, similar to AI, is probably the best way to go about it. You know, not rely on theory as, you know, something that limits you to where, oh, I, you know, theory says that I have to follow the 1-4-5 progression and it has to resolve to the one chord, you know, things like that. But also not throwing it away and being like, well, I can just ask AI to do it for me, you know. Like,
that's where it gets tricky for me because here's when I was in theory, I thought it should have come with a disclaimer. Mm-hmm. I thought if you take music theory, because I'd always written by ear. And mm-hmm. so once I knew theory, it was like a cheat code. Well, I know if I'm on a 3, I can go to the 2, 6, 5. You know, I can go 3, 6, 2, 5, 1. It's always going to sound good. So it took away the, well, what, you know, I'm trying different chords to find what goes. It kind of took that away. But then on the other hand, I always tell the story. I walked in and there was all of these producers and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with this piece of music. And I'm in the other room and it's driving me crazy. And I finally walk in. I'm like, hey, man, the bass is in a different key from the rest of the song. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. They sat there for, it must have been an hour just trying to figure out what it was. So I'm like, at some point, there's got to be a little bit where you can say, well, all right, here's what it is. We should at least know what key we're in. Okay. So I think it'll never be as necessary as it was, but I hope it isn't eliminated. I hope there's still, and like, I don't want it to just be esoteric, like taught the way people speak of Latin now. Like, it's still there, and it's the basis of, but, you know, no one actually speaks. So I hope it doesn't go that way. I hope it's still necessary. But the only time I ever talk in theory is like I'm working with church musicians. You know, mm-hmm. they're speaking in numbers, but other than like hip hop, no one. It's all hey, just find the right loop and you know, put the auto tune on and put the sauce on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I always think of Johnny Cash though. Didn't he just know 3 chords? Didn't he just play 3 chords? Wasn't that his thing?
Yeah,
I love Johnny Cash.
But he played them really well. I'm a big JC fan myself.
Me too. I sang with Johnny Cash when I was 14 years old on stage back at the Houston Music Theater in the round, my 5 sisters and I, and the Carter sisters. And I was just like 13 or 14. I had no idea I was on the stage with a legend. Like,
oh my gosh.
Looking back, I think, wow, we only have photos. We don't have video because back in the 70s, who did video?
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but now looking back, I'm like, I sang with Johnny Cash.
That's outstanding.
That's amazing. And yeah, at the time, you didn't realize the relativity of what was going on around you at that time.
I'm a big JT fan. Big.
Love him.
Y'all. I think more people should go back and listen to his records because I think they're just as good now, maybe better now than they were then. I'm a big fan.
Me too. Nobody can make me cry like Johnny Cash. Oh, except maybe that one George Jones song, He Stopped Loving Her Today. That makes me bawl.
Yeah.
I love that one too.
And you know, one last thing, at least for me. I have a lot of people on the whole time we're doing this. You never know how people are going to affect you. But what you've done for me is you've made me truly realize that true freedom comes when you are comfortable in your own skin. And what I take from you is how wonderful life becomes when you are just comfortable. You are unashamedly you wherever you go. And I wish more people had that freedom. I envy you. I think that is just the most beautiful thing. I applaud you. I wish you nothing but success, because I love not only what you do, but the way you do it is inspiring to me. And being, you know, it's rare that I'm not the senior on one of these calls. So to, I wasn't going to say it that way, but doggone it, I love what you're doing and how you're doing it. Please don't stop.
Thank you so much. That means the world. I'm going to get all teary-eyed over here, but thank you. That means a lot. Y'all are so nice. I love being on the show. Thank you for having us. My goodness.
I have one last question. After the 27th, what's up? What is in the plans? What's the next album? What's next? Where are we going?
We have to record more songs. We only have 2 songs. But right now, it's just basically, it's so expensive to record. People don't realize you don't make money in music. Until you are touring, selling merch, that is why when I came, real fast, while I came to Hollywood was for music. What happened was I took the back burner, and all I did was commercials and TV and film, documentaries, one-off shoots with people coming out to shoot me, people coming out to shoot, because that's where I made the money. I lived off one commercial for a year. I didn't have to, but one national commercial. Music, I didn't make a dime. I had to pay to play. And I'm like, I can't do this. So that's why I put music on the back burner, but then it kind of seeped back up because I couldn't stand it. I wanted to do my dream again, you know? And that's why I put the girl band together. But for a long time, I didn't need music at all. I'd maybe release one music video, but, you know, it was not. What was the question?
That's great.
Wait, what was it? Oh, what's next?
Record
some damn music. Get some more songs out there, man. We need to full length album. Anybody that wants to demo us, go ahead.
You made it a valid point, which I have said, Mark has said, we've talked about this. We put this in the newsletter. We've said this on the podcast. We say this in our articles. We say this anytime we get to speak. Even with all those interns we have that we teach. One thing to understand, music, and Mark said this, I think, the best one day, and I couldn't top it. So I've accepted it just the way it is because I couldn't top this. But music is a loss leader, like you said, like Marcus did so elegantly say. It is one where people don't understand it isn't where you make the money at. And it's understanding that concept of the branding, turning it into something else, making the brand and understanding what your audience and what you can sell them is where it comes to. And you've done an extremely good job of understanding that, putting it together, and at the same time playing the game of the entertainment game and doing what you've done and gone in different directions. I give it to you that you stuck with it and you came back to it.
Yeah.
And I know it's been a long road. Hollywood is not the easiest path. I'm sure you could probably have tons of stories about how many times you went and auditioned, and it was 200 auditions in a week and maybe one callback.
Yeah. And you know what I just say? And I had to learn. I had to learn just to make it an upside. I had to say no stands for just NO stands for next opportunity. Just keep going. Don't even worry about it. You know what? If you don't like me, somebody else will.
I love that. That's actually a great. I'm going to use that too. Not
for we're trading sayings. We're going back and forth.
Yes,
we are. I love that. But it really does motivate you just to keep. You know, because I had a friend that moved out. She was a model, and but it just killed her every time she got rejected. And I was like, girl, you're gorgeous. She should just don't let it bother you. But she couldn't. She moved back to Kansas or wherever she was from. She was here for like 6 months because she couldn't take it. You just got to just keep going. Don't give up. Doesn't matter. If you're not right for somebody else, there's always another door that's going to open for you. Truthfully, you know,
I
auditioned for a USA Characters Welcome. Me and my dog were very characters. We didn't get it. And I thought, this is when I didn't have the positivity attitude. I thought, man, that was a waste of time. I got all dolled up. I can't believe we didn't get it. But guess what? Somebody saw us in the casting office, took a picture of us, and we were smiling for a lot of people. She called me like 3 months later, and she's the where I got the national commercial from. She's like, we need a pink lady with a pink dog. Would you be interested? It's a national. I'm like, So because I went to that dumb USA Characters Welcome audition, I ended up booking something bigger and better. So $500 I would have made turned into $32,000 I made. So it's just...
That's it.
Yep. You cannot think of anything as a waste of time because you're meeting people as you go, and they're all going to help you eventually.
Next opportunity.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's amazing.
Music Addicts, if there's anything we can do to help, we'll definitely send us your flyers up. We'll definitely support your National Women Band Day. And
yeah, we'll write about that.
When you're ready for your next song, let us know. And if you ever get to Chicago, I'd love to record you. So, I'm Island Chicago Studios. So, I'm a vocal boutique, so I don't do a lot of bands. But if the two of you come, I do a lot of guitars, and I always do vocals. So come, and I know everybody. So if you come down, we'll find a studio for you. Next time you're in Chicago, you reach out.
Pinky promise.
Pinky promise.
Pinky promise. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, sorry, you are so welcome.
I talked so much, I didn't let Celinda get a word in edgewise.
Celinda, this is just the beginning of the wonderful things that you get to look forward to as you get older.
Yeah.
All fun things.